This is Pastor Jim Corson for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Eggar Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crishan on Sunday, October 4th, 2020. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please join us as we worship together.
Morning. God bless you and welcome to worship this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We meet as family, brothers and sisters in Christ, accepting the responsibility this places upon us to love one another as you have loved us. We meet as your lights in this dark world, and pray that through our words and our lives, others might be drawn into your family and accept you as their Savior and Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, maybe indeed we needed to hear that. One bread, one body, one Lord of all. Neither Gentile nor Jew, slave or free, but one in you. Father, we find ourselves in your presence on this first Sunday of another month. Around us, the storms of life seem to rage. It seems that as we have went through this whole year to this date so far, it has been filled with questions, ups, downs, tragedies, and it seems they continue. As I looked out upon the mountain this morning, the smoke was coming in. And Father, it reminds me that while here in this place, we are not untouched by other places. May our prayer go up to you today, not only for us, not only for ourselves, but for those who need you, wherever and whomever that may be. But Father, do hear our hearts and prayers as we seek forgiveness, as we seek strength for service, as we seek to be able to forgive others, to share with them your love that grows within us. And Father, it is difficult at times to witness, to share your grace. And Father, I am reminded this week that so many people who love you, who seek you, who seek to serve you, are struggling in that journey. They struggle as they are buffeted by evil all around us. They are pressed on every side. They are crushed beneath loads. But Father, I want us to remember amidst all of this, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are more than conquerors. Not relying on our own strength, talents, gifts, and abilities. Not putting our trust in someone else, but in you. Hear our prayers, gracious and loving God, for ourselves and for those of us who have lifted needs and concerns before you, written some in our bulletins, or carry them quietly upon our hearts. Hear our prayers, O God. As we pray for our church, our community, and our nation, and nations around the world, God, we pray for peace and for the love of God that surpasses all understanding, to be that which fills us with hope, settles our differences. And Father, we pray for honesty, integrity, morals, and values based on you, your word, your teaching. And Father, we pray that hearts would be open, that minds would be opened, and that humility could be found with bended knee and bowed head. Hear our prayers, O God. For other churches who are proclaiming, may the witness be bold. For those who are serving, may it be in humility. For those who are grieving, may they find comfort. For those that are uncertain and unsure, may they find your way. For those that seem to be embroiled in battle against the forces of evil, we pray your armor and protection. And Father, we pray in the midst of all that goes on around us for the leaders of our communities, our nation, and around the world. Father, we pray for those who take care of those in need, those who suffer, and those who are broken. We pray for those in hospitals, confined in their own homes, and for those who give them care. And Father, now we pray together as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Today we are reading from the book of Matthew 21, 33 through 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our is it amazing in our eyes? Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're back at another parable this week. And remember that a parable is a story told to illustrate a point or make points. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is about an event that happened, but it can be. We find ourselves still with Jesus in the temple. Remember last week in the parable, they had challenged his authority. They had challenged his teaching. They challenged him and who he was. This week, they're still there, and Jesus says, "Let me tell you another parable." Now, this time, Jesus is going to get among them, just to be honest. This is going to be a trap. Jesus is going to, if you will, zing them big time. More than that, he's going to convict them in their own hearts. And it's interesting to see how this goes along. So let us look at the parable for a minute. And I want you to kind of, if you have your Bibles, maybe make a note or two along as we go as to what and to what this parable is referring. Because remember, Matthew's writing to mostly a Jewish readership. Most of the people that he would have intended his gospel to be written to, and this is about between 50 and 60 A.D., prior to the temple falling in 70 A.D., this is to whom he would have been writing this to. They would have been Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. Our faith is Judeo-Christianity. It rests in the promises of God to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way through King David. Our heritage and our lineage is that of the Jewish people, the Israelites. That is our pedigree, our heritage. Jesus came to fulfill God's promise to them and to us. So here we arrive, scribes and Pharisees, and there were some Sadducees, I'm sure. Religious leaders, learned men, leaders of the community of faith, the ones God had called out from among the tribes to be set apart, and that God would be shared not only in the nation of Israel, but to the nations of the world, that they might see God by the witness of the people of Israel. And Jesus says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner. This is God. The landowner in this parable represents God. You do realize that we don't have anything, right? What did you bring into this world? And what will you take with you? We are all stewards of what God has blessed us with, to use it for good or for ill, for benefit or not. We are just stewards. We're passing through. We're just here for a little while. We are, if you will, tenants. We sometimes think we've got it, but we need to realize God gave it to us. So God is the landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. How many of you have been around a great vineyard? Anybody? They take a little while. You don't just go out and stick a little grapevine in, give it some water, and go get grapes next week. It takes a little time for a vineyard to be formed. It takes a while to prepare it. And notice that he prepared the soil, planted the vineyard, and then he dug a wine press in it, and he placed a watchtower in it. This represents the promised land. This represents God making the promised land. When we read the Old Testament, we hear God's promise that I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And indeed, the nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan into a land of milk and honey, of vineyards and storehouses that they had not constructed, had built for them. It's the promised land, the promise to Israel. It took a little while. Vineyards don't grow overnight. And they moved into this which God had provided for them, tenants of it. And the nation of Israel was to be a nation who witnessed God's presence, love, power, and grace into the whole world, that the whole world would believe in God among them. It was never intended to become exclusive or owned by them. If you will, they were called to be the pastors to the world, to proclaim God to all of the nations. Somewhere along the way, that vision was lost. And God sent prophets to them over and over and over. He sent prophet after prophet after prophet. And he said to Israel, you have departed from me. You have left your calling. I come to see the fruits of the labor of the vineyard and the people that I have called and what I blessed you with. And what I find, you kill my prophets. You kill all of my prophets. So the nation of Israel began to fall apart. First, the northern kingdom of Israel falls in about 900 B.C. It is taken into captivity and prisons. Read of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Read about how the nation of Israel fell. And finally, in 587, Israel said, our God, we're His people. He won't let us fall. In 587, the southern kingdom and Jerusalem falls. and from 587 until 1948, there was no nation of Israel for 2,000 years. You see, he also sent his son. And they rejected even his son and crucified him. But you see, the story didn't end there, did it? And Jesus says to them in this parable, what did the vineyard owner do with these people? And of their own words, what did they say? Do you remember? He will kill them when he comes. He will not just kill. He will put these wretches to a horrible death. And then he will take that vineyard after he's removed them from it, and he'll give it to other tenants who will give him the honor and the glory and the produce of it. And they killed his son. But he didn't stay dead. And the witness of God's grace became ours too. Today, we should be the witnesses of Christ into the world. You need to understand, history teaches difficult lessons. And in our society today, we have forgotten history. We've wanted to cancel culture. We want to do away with that which should remind us of the mistakes of the past. God will not be mocked, church. Either by us individually, us as a church, us as a community, or us as a nation. Immorality, depravity, lying, cheating, stealing, anger, hatred are all the seeds that sow destruction of a people and of a nation. You don't get by with that. At some point, God has sent once again those of us who are called to say, repent. God will not be mocked. We need to understand something. We are temporary fixtures. And everything around us is temporary. How many of us have lived long enough to realize that one phone call and it all turns upside down? Life can change. One more blood test. One more doctor's visit. One nod of the head on the interstate. But we think that God should honor us. Be careful that we don't become Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees. God will not be mocked. Friends, the world around us is a mess. And what is needed isn't a person. It's God. The mess is too big for a person to clean up. Do you realize that the United States of America is the last vestige of freedom and godliness? We also need to understand that the nation that turns its back on morality, values in God crumbles. It doesn't matter how big it is or how strong its military. Tour the ruins of Rome. Look at the map of the nation and the empire of Great Britain. Go check the borders of the once great nation of the Spaniards. Read the history. God's will be accomplished with you, with me, or without us. Choose wisely. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we prepare to come to your table. We come to find ourselves in your presence. Father, we're always in your presence. Let us acknowledge where we are in that. We are tenants, vine dressers. We're called to produce fruit of your planting. Father, we are part of the promise. And Father, while I can't reach out into a nation and call a whole nation to you, you've called me to do that where you have planted me. In the vineyard in which you have planted me to be a vine dresser. And Father, I wasn't planted here alone. Across this nation and in the world, Christians will break bread today and celebrate a new covenant of grace and mercy. And Father, as we come with hearts open, let us come in humility of heart and life, with bended knee and bowed head and humbled heart. May each and every church who calls upon the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the living Savior, the Messiah promised, the Messiah come and this Messiah present, as we lift a cup of covenant, let us remember the cost of that covenant. And Father, in this time, may each and every community who calls, believes, preaches, and teaches that Jesus is indeed your Son, the Messiah, Savior, and Redeemer. Father, empower us by your grace to be together in this. Not divided, but unified in proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. And Father, if just those who claim to be a Christian will hear the words of the prophet, as God said through him, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, repent of their sins, then I will hear their prayers and heal their land. Father, we go through many struggles. We fall short in so many ways. But let us remember that as we come to this table, it is a table of grace, of forgiveness, of promise. Let us hear more than a liturgy. Let us hear our tradition, our hope, and our history. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is my hope and prayer that we realize the blessings we have been given and that we do not take any of them for granted, and that we may honor God in them, be grateful to God, and share God's love and grace as it has been shared with us. And now may we go in peace, grace, and mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.